Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. We're going to have a super-duper show today, and it's going to be a real wowzer. We got a fabulous super-duper producer.
So we started off wrong. You didn't turn my microphone on again.
It's passive-aggressive.
Passive-aggressiveness.
The best way to shut up, Joe.
Just don't turn on my microphone.
Oh, boy.
Someday let me sit over there, and I won't turn yours on.
Oh, I would hate that. I should sit over there sometime so I see what it's like.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we have to endure this over here.
No, endurance. Listen, if it's too much.
No, I can handle
it. Okay, that's what I thought. All right, you'll do anything for $2.
I'll that's right. $1.98, I'll mark down.
Tax. All right. So Mr. Joe McGranahan is our super-duper co-host, so we appreciate him coming in. He brings common sense, conservative viewpoints, but he's a natural-born listener, so before he dismisses your ideas, he almost always listens to them. So he is here today, and we can talk about a couple of things, if you want, on our Sunrise show today. We talked about a red flag law that's being proposed in Pennsylvania, and so that would take guns out of the hands, after due process, of course, individuals who are showing an extreme threat towards themselves or others. So that's that popped up this morning. Some folks had opinions about that. Of course, we've been talking about legalizing marijuana off and on. I wouldn't say we had a whole day of it, but there is pending legislation in Harrisburg that would... Oh, nope, scratch that. There's no pending legislation. There's a listening tour that's happening around the state. So the lieutenant governor's going around. We do have calls into Jake Corman, the state senator. We'd like him to call us and tell us precisely why it's irresponsible to even discuss the idea of legalizing marijuana. I know what his answer is, but we'll let him voice that if he wants to.
My guess is he probably won't want to.
Well, no, he has a complex theory that the more you talk about it, the more young people get a mixed message. Yeah, I'm not sure that it's a wrong viewpoint. If young people already know that marijuana is legal in other states, so if you have a conversation about legal marijuana, kids in Pennsylvania might think it is legal and smoke it because they think it's legal. So it's a bit of a leap, but
don't they get some guidance from home or from other places?
You mean like the world?
Yeah,
telling
like
them
the world.
That pot's illegal? Well, you would think so, but you know, I understand what he's saying. That
you don't have to watch too many cop shows before you can actually figure that out for yourself.
That drugs are illegal. All right. So anyway, all right. So that has popped up. Of course, we've talked about the wall, the president's fake emergency. We have talked about
the real emergency. You mean
Jussie Smollett? The real what's the real emergency?
At the border.
Oh, brother. Okay. Yes, we have. All right. You're just responding to the fake emergency. All right. And Jussie Smollett's been in the news. One of our listeners listened to our archive yesterday and immediately tapped out a message.
Said, I was suspicious of that attack from the start. It was 2 a.m. and the temp was like 20 below. Who goes out for a sandwich under those conditions when you're in a city with many pizzeria and sandwich shops that deliver 24/7? Also, he wasn't robbed of anything, including his phone. A real Chicago thug would have shot him. There were over 3,000 people shot last year, and they would have taken his wallet and anything else of value.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that email. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our email address is onthemark@wkok.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. You can call us at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. We tell you about these pharmacies and specifically about the locations where they are because they are right in the middle of where you're going. For example, out on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Shade Mountain Pharmacy's there, Terry's there. You get treated on a first-name basis, no waiting. It's an opportunity for you to get super pharmaceutical care from a real expert. Tyler's on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. That's right in the downtown. Half the customers at Trutz Pharmacy Pharmacy. Walk there. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy in North Elmeton, right on Duke Street. Lots of folks being careful to cross Duke Street. Walk to that location as well. It's an opportunity for you to visit a real pharmacy. And Jennifer's the head pharmacist at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Smartest person everywhere she goes. And she can tell you about drug interactions like no one else. And she is the way to get the most up-to-date information you can in Bloomsburg. And Brad's at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. They're very helpful there, as they are at the other pharmacies, and they give you super service, drug take-back, delivery, you name it. Brad's a bit of an egghead when it comes to interactions and the new medicine, so he's the go-to guy there. Hometown Pharmacy sponsoring our toll-free line. We very, very much appreciate that. As I mentioned, you can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. I got an email Friday. It was a little bit too long to read, but it'd make a good conversation starter today.
Yes, our emailer says, I wish the conservative sect would just take a minute to read the words of the con man in chief spews at his little rallies instead of watching the theatrics. Unintelligible mutterings and sound effects. He's not comic enough through his banter, although his banter is comical, due to the nature of the half-truth and outright lies he spews. The press is not the enemy of this state. Ignorance is the biggest enemy of the population. The new tax break hurts the very people who conservatives claim to want to help. I'm a combat veteran of the armed forces who has taken an oath to defend my country from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Currently, I believe that the Republican Party and their bowing to the biggest con man since P.T. Barnum have become enemies of the majority of the population, and no one ordered me to stand down. So I will challenge every Trump supporter I encounter and explain themselves, and as my unit motto read, protect the innocent, convince the undecided, and guess what we did to the rest? It's time for a change. No ifs, ands, or buts. What the Republican Party has done to gain power with redistricting and denying minorities the right to vote is treasonous. The constant fear-mongering and never-ending fraudulent religious crap. How are they are such wonderful Christians full of Christian charity and stand by and fill their coffers while I have to figure out which prescription I can afford to pay for and how many meals I have to skip to pay for utilities. I'm an old man, and I pray every day to live long enough to see the old guard die off and see our country finally have socialized medicine.
Oh, okay. A lot to unpack in there, but we appreciate the email, and thank you for sending it, and thank you for your service. Socialized medicine. Bernie Sanders announced his campaign yesterday for president again. Medicare for all is a through line through his campaign. Is it Kamala Harris or Amy Klobuchar that said that Medicare for all is part of her campaign, too? So
right, I think Kamala Harris.
Right, okay, so this is going to be brought up and talked about
and
again.
Didn't Elizabeth Warren also throw her hat into that ring?
Saying that Medicare for all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm losing track as we're up to about, probably a dozen candidates or so, some of which are not really keeping a real high profile at this time. Maybe they will later. Mayor Pete.
Well, you know, you keep hearing these stories. Some people say, oh, well, if you go to Canada, you have to wait 6 months to get a test. You have to wait 9 months for this. Other people say, no, Canada's a real utopia. Everything goes so smoothly. Same in England. I mean, you hear stories on each side. So what's the truth?
Well, maybe it's the same as it is in the U.S. You know, somebody says, well, Geisinger is a terrible hospital. I went up there and I had to wait 2 hours and they botched the operation, you know, and somebody else goes up there and says, well, I get right in and they did fabulous on my gallbladder, you know. So different people have different experiences at the same place. Of course, you know, you're not always treated by the same individual. And people say that about other hospitals. You know, they say Sunbury's great and you know, they're doing a fantastic job there. Somebody else may say, well, I went there and had to wait a long time.
Aunt Maud died there.
Right. So now she was 92 with pneumonia, but in any event, maybe Canadian medicine's the same thing. You know, it's hard to encapsulate what the treatment is if you look at an individual case.
But I can't believe the cost is something that can be controlled. I mean, the government doesn't control spending very well in any stretch of the imagination. And to put them in charge of our medicine seems like a very dangerous precedent to me.
Well, how big would the budget be? I mean, the government budget would be, you know, twice as big as it is now.
Trillions. It would have to be in the trillions. We're already $21 trillion in debt, and I love the fact that, you know, so many of my friends on the left are now saying, oh, well, look at Trump. He's run up the deficit, and he has. And so did Obama.
Right, and so did Clinton, and so did Bush, and so did Bush.
Right, and all of them have done it. So if we're going to get serious about these costs, first let's take care of the debt. Let's pay our debt down so that we're not, you know, so horrendously overdrawn in our accounts. There's a – did you hear Gordon Deal this morning? Some 8,000 people –
Clinton balanced the budget, says one of our texters.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
But did you hear Gordon Deal's program this morning that somebody has suggested, there's I think like 7,000 signatures on it, to sell Montana to the Canadians for $1 trillion to help cut our national debt?
Okay.
So maybe we should do some serious out-of-the-box thinking. You know, let's face it, what percentage, and it grows every year, of our national budget is devoted to paying down the interest on this debt? I don't know if we ever pay anything on the principal. We just pay the interest.
Well, I can't imagine we could afford the principal. Well, we can't pay it all off. What is it, $22
trillion? $22
trillion.
Okay. And I was alive when it crossed $1 trillion, and so were you. Look at where we
are
now.
Yeah, thinking, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. We have to undo this. And every political leader came along and said, yes, we're going to pay down the deficit. But guess what?
Well, then
pay down.
Some people keep saying, well, there's nothing wrong with having a debt, that that's a good thing. You know, then you hear the news story saying that consumer debt has reached a new high and that people can't afford to pay off their consumer debt, that they don't have $400 for an emergency. You know, is that the fault of the government, or is that poor planning, or are we all just mimicking the way the government spends our tax money as if it had no value at all?
Right. So we don't. Well, that's an interesting thing to ask. You know, which came first? Our inability. Well, maybe that's why we don't care that the government is spending way beyond their means and borrowing another trillion every day. Maybe that's why we think that's okay, because we live the same way, sort of collectively. I'm not debt-free, but I have a mortgage.
Well, and then you look at kids coming out of college. They've got liberal arts degrees, and they can't find the right kind of jobs. We're training kids for jobs that don't exist and not training them for jobs that do exist.
Hmm?
You know,
what is
so,
this? What training do we do for jobs that don't exist?
Well, people come out with art history degrees. Where are they going to go to work?
Well, now, come on, Joe. That's,
no, but that's a lot,
that a
lot of people come out
exist
with those liberal arts degrees, and there is no meaningful work for them.
Well, maybe the city of Sunbury needs an art historian. You never know. Than, you're on the mark.
Hi there. Good morning. It sounds like somebody there needs some health care. Is everybody okay?
It yeah, Joe like needs Medicare for all.
We're just right. Fighting colds here.
As are we all. But I'm really interested in the Medicare or however we do it for everyone, because as far as I'm concerned, that is part of being an American, is to have health care. And don't the business in Canada, is it good or bad? Of course, it's both. Is it good or bad in another country? It's both. Just as you said, it has to do with, you know, the care that you get and the chances you take and do you get the right doctor and so forth. Those are always important, of course. But I think that if you figure out what the average person pays for health care, I don't know what your health care bill might be, Joe or Mark, Mark more than myself or Joe, because we have the added thing of Medicare and old age stuff. But if you take what you pay for health care for you and your wife per month, your taxes in a year wouldn't go up that much. It wouldn't go up. Let's say you're paying $1,000 a month. Your taxes aren't going to go up $1,000 a month to pay for health care for all.
But then how can you say that? Because there's so many people who aren't covered, and all of a sudden we'd be covering everybody, including illegals, people who are not here in this country with documentation,
hold
if you will.
On now. Let's pretend we're not afraid of people from other countries.
No, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the cost of them, of those people. If we give everybody in this country health care, that means we're giving it to some people who have contributed nothing toward it and will contribute nothing toward it.
Well, that may be true, but you think they should be condemned to possible death?
I'm asking you about the cost of it. Than, you're the one who said that our costs wouldn't go up. I'm saying to you that if you suddenly insure a lot of people who were uninsured or had no insurance, the costs have to go up. It's simple economics.
Wait a minute. Taxes go up. Health care costs go down. They kind of meet in the middle, don't they? Or usually even a little better.
How do you figure health care costs are going down? I mean, the cost of procedures, unless the government steps in and mandates hospitals and doctors charge less money or sets price fixing or, you know, fixes the prices of medical procedures, how's that going to go down?
Do you truly think this country is so stupid we can't figure out how to do it?
Yeah, because nobody's
figured
it. Somebody could figure it out.
I have the wherewithal to figure it out, but people do. And the other countries give us the reasons and how to do it.
Have you listened to Olivia Ocasio-Cortez? She espouses this but has no idea how to pay for it.
I know how to pay for it. You raise the taxes, particularly
right.
on people
Soak
who
the
are
rich.
Not paying taxes now, who are extremely wealthy.
Well, I'll agree with you if you're talking about big corporations not paying their fair share, but I think most individuals wind up paying some tax.
Yeah, and most individuals also, I think, Joe, and I'm trying to be rather serious here. Sometimes I get kind of silly with you. But I think that if you figure it out that your taxes are going to go up because of health care, but your health care costs are going to go down, where does that come out even? And my guess is you save money in the long run by having health care free for everyone.
And can you name me any economists who agree with your theory?
Oh, yes. If you don't know any economists who agree with it, that's because you listen to the wrong network all the time. And also, you read the journals. You read the various journals. I'm thinking of The Economist and ones like that. And they say, yeah, it would be a transition. But in the first place, you're not just thinking of yourself. You're thinking of everybody. Because everybody would have health care equally. That seems like something we should espouse to in this country, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't think we can ever have health care equally because not everybody's going to have an equal need for health care. Some of us are going to wind up subsidizing people who are very sick while we ourselves are in better health. You know,
well,
do we have an obligation to do that?
For a minute and think about other people who need services.
Okay, well, then if we carry that out to its logical conclusion, then we do that with everything. If somebody has better, worse clothing than we do, we buy them better clothing. If somebody doesn't have as nice a car as we do, we buy them a nicer car. Where does it stop?
Okay, I called up to be serious, and you come up with these silly
No,
ideas.
I'm being serious, too. You're talking about, in effect, wealth redistribution.
He is being serious. He doesn't get it, so we have to walk him through it.
I know, and it's the thing that I think we could get along a lot better if we allowed people to be well in this country without going bankrupt. I have a family member who came, who made a pretty good living, got sick, no cause of his own, through an injury. He lost everything he has. He's now a pauper, a ward of the state. Now, if he had been taken care of from the time he became ill without having to put off the procedures that he needed to live, he might still be fine, and for sure he would not be totally bankrupt.
But he would still be a ward of the state,
potentially. Well, you don't know.
One way or the other,
he wouldn't be bankrupt, Joe. You're not looking.
No,
into
I'm saying
the
if
future.
the state takes care of all your health care and they determine what you may or may not have, you're assuming they're going to make the right decisions. I am not making that assumption.
In other words, you much prefer a insurance company who makes 30% on every one of those health care things, or a large percentage. I may have the percentage wrong.
I think it's much smaller.
You're certainly right. They're certainly for-profit companies, but I think you can regulate the amount of profit they make, just like you do a public utility. And I have no problem with considering health care as I would consider the gas company. It's something they provide a necessary service. They should make a fair return on their investment, but they should not be free to raise the prices as they see fit.
All right, then.
We have reality that we deal with every day in this country, and the reality is that people die because they don't have health care. And you say, well, it might cost me some money to keep people alive. Well, yeah, it might, Joe.
All right. That'd
be a tough thing to give up in a free country is some money.
Thank you, Than. Appreciate the call. Good food for thought. As always, you're right.
No, it's always wrong, but at least he's got it.
I doubt if everybody there agrees that I'm right.
Huh? I think you're right.
I don't.
Spot
on.
Thank you so much,
Dan. I don't.
All right. We got it. Thank you, Dan. All right. We got another caller standing by. We got to take a quick break. We'll come right back. You can call, too. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
Sunbury Motors Ford is getting the year off to a fast start. In January, SMC was right on pace to hit their goal of selling 1,000 new Fords in 2019. In February, Sunbury Motors will shift into high gear during its President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords with savings up to $16,000. Pack from over 60 new Ford F-150 4x4s priced as low as $29,934. Deals on new 2019 Ford Fiestas are in overdrive. SMC has them starting at just $12,820.
And it gets 35 mpgs.
Select from over 45 Ford Escapes and they're slashed to an amazing price of $17,820. SMC has an incredible deal on a 2018 Ford Fusion. Discounted down to $17,770. Sunbury Motors' goal of 1,000 new Fords in 2019 will give all of Central PA the largest discounts on new Fords in recent history. In February, SMC wants to put you into victory lane and become a member of their 1,000 Club of 2019. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Cindy. Go ahead.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. Mark Lawrence is here, and on the phone we have Mike from Bloomsburg. Mike, you are on the mark.
Hey, good morning, man.
Morning.
Been hearing a lot of talk, you know, from on the TV, the radio, your show, wherever, about government needing to do more to provide this, to provide that, to provide everything, whether it be, you know, free education, free health care, you name it. And I just wanted to talk about my personal experience for a moment. You know, I used to be younger, of course, and I was one of the people that believed in just about, you know, government should take care of everything. And then probably about 25 years ago, I read a book called Free to Choose by Milton Friedman. He was a Nobel Prize winning economist. I think you guys probably heard of him, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, I when I was in college, I never took any economics, any business, any history courses, so I was pretty weak on this subject. But he boiled down the rules of economics into three laws. He said, anytime government subsidizes something, you get more of it.
Yep.
He said, anytime government taxes something, you get less of it. And then he went on to say that anytime government tries to solve a social problem with a new program, we get more of that problem than if government did anything at all. And at first I scoffed at all those things, but then as I went through my working life, raising children, having a house and all that, I came to believe that Milton Friedman was exactly right. And my point is this. I just want to say, you know, we're hearing about education should be free for everybody. Well, in the last century, in our public schools, there for every teacher, for let's say for every teacher there would be six teachers and one non-teaching person in the school district. So it was 6-1 teaching versus non-teaching. Today, the average is there's 50% teachers and 50% staff.
Hmm.
And people are wondering why the property taxes are so high, because government is mandating that schools do more, and when schools can just keep raising property taxes at a whim, they can keep adding jobs to their system. Now, the last point I want to make is we're in the midst of having another snowstorm. I worked for 34 years, and the number of times that I could not get to work on my own and had to have somebody in a four-wheel drive pick me up was probably about three. And now, when there's just a whiff of a snowstorm coming, which I call a garden variety storm, the government comes out with all kinds of regulations to ban traffic on interstate highways and what have you. And I have to say this. We could have 10 or 12 situations where we would have the government ban traffic of one way or another on these interstate highways. And what would that do to the economy? So my last closing point is this. If government is responsible for everything, why can't we keep our roads open just in a garden variety snowstorm?
Well, I think that's what they're trying to do.
They do keep them open, but they do place restrictions on them.
Although there's a wreck right now, I-80 west or I-80 eastbound in Columbia County's blocked because of a wreck earlier today.
Yeah, and I am seeing traffic moving eastbound on Interstate 80. So I don't know that I live right next to the Light Street exit. So I'm seeing traffic moving east past the Light Street exit. So I'm thinking that there is at least one lane open there, but that's not confirmed because I don't have my eyes on it for sure. But my point is this. Everybody says government has to take care of this problem. Government has to take care of that problem. And in my lifetime, the number of times that we had to put these restrictions on Interstate 80 to keep it open was minimal. I mean, there had to be major storms. Does anybody look at what the cost to businesses and what the cost to the economy is? Because we're hearing we have all these problems with our economy, yet at a whim, we can block traffic on Interstate 80 for a garden variety snowstorm. Doesn't make sense to me.
Good point, Mike. Hey, we thank you for your call. We're out of time in this segment, but we thank you so much for calling in. Take care.
You're welcome.
All right, call back. You get another minute. Everybody does. All right, you are listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. We'll be back during the 9 a.m. hour. We're going to have some news headlines. We'll tell you about that slowdown on I-80, and we'll have some other news updates.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Well, thank you so much. Welcome on board the second half of the On the Mark show. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is with us. Fabulous producer Rob Center. Matt Cotrillo is over in the newsroom telling us that there are early dismissals now in the Milton, Warrior Run, and Montgomery School District. The very specific announcements are posted at WKOK.com on our Winternet announcements. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy. Toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. A Text Connect member can just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, sign up at wkok.com. We send you fewer than a dozen emergency messages per month, bulletins of breaking local or national news, dead celebrities, closed roads, tornadic weather, you name it. That's what we use Text Connect for. We don't sell the list. We don't harass you. We just send you a link if you're interested in getting more information about a particular topic. We got an email that relates to free health care. That's what we're talking about. Medicare for All has been the through line through our conversation so far today. In the news, a motor vehicle accident shut down a portion of I-80 eastbound earlier today. Traffic is now getting by, but trouble is downtown Bloomsburg's near gridlock between the Route 42 exit as you go into town near the Buckhorn exit and the Route 487, Route 11 split in Bloomsburg. So very slow going in Bloomsburg, but I-80 eastbound now open. Local Walmart management declined to comment and referred our questions to their corporate office about Adam Catlin, the local disabled man who they plan to fire because they've increased the job requirements to which he can't comply. Walmart corporate offices say they've changed the names from greeters to hosts and added some more job titles or jobs elements that he needs to do. Trouble is, Adam can't, so he'll be let go in April. There's a protest at noon this Saturday at the Hummel's Wharf Walmart to let Walmart know what people think about that. Also, the Adam Strong website is growing with people supporting young Adam Catlin. Another tax increase likely in the Shikellamy School District. The preliminary budget is way out of balance.
We expect to roll up our sleeves and reduce the budget in any way that we can while providing the best education for our students.
That is Wendy Weiss, the school board president, says they have a lot of work to do. $50 million budget at the moment, almost a $5 million tax increase if it were to be passed at present, but it will be reduced by the time that budget moves along. Gettysburg College trustee apologizes and announces his resignation after a student found a 1980 yearbook photo in which the trustee wore a Nazi uniform costume. Gettysburg College president Janet Morgan Riggs said in an email to the college community that Bob Garthwaite decided to step down from the Board of Trustees. Garthwaite is a financial donor to the college and helped found the Garthwaite Leadership Center on campus. Trouble is, a student brought the photo to the attention of a faculty member last week, and the administration was contacted. The student newspaper, the Gettysburgian, published an image of the photo, which depicts Garthwaite in a military uniform costume with a swastika armband and four other people, including one other individual who appears to be in a military costume. They were standing next to drawings of razor wire and someone trying to climb a fence. The photo surfaced weeks after the disclosure of a photo of the medical school yearbook picture for the Virginia governor. Garthwaite says he dressed as a Nazi soldier as part of a Hogan's Heroes TV show theme party at the fraternity. So Hogan's Heroes, we don't talk about him much on this show, but it was about a POW camp, as you know. It was a comedy and involved individuals who were captive and the many pitfalls that they would go against the hapless krauts.
There was nothing funny about the Nazis or World War II, but Hogan's Heroes was a funny program.
Well, and it was about a U.S. or a POW camp, not a internment camp or something. I understand. You know, in today's day and age, would Hogan's Heroes have ever made it on the air?
I don't know. I doubt that it would have, because people would have been just had their knickers in a twist over the fact that they were going to have people dressed up in Nazi uniforms. You know, but that would take away some of the great performances. Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Bastards was an incredible performance, you know, but he was in a Nazi uniform. He was playing an evil Nazi. So do we not allow that anymore either?
We're in the Nazi killing business,
and
business is
a booming. Right? One of my favorite lines of all time.
It's about the only line I remember, but it's a fabulous. But anyway,
but
okay.
I'm sure you remember Christoph Waltz's performance as the evil Nazi colonel.
Right. He did a fabulous job.
Yeah.
Well, there was some great performance. The whole movie is great. But anyway, we digress.
He was wearing a Nazi uniform. So here's a guy. Now, admittedly, I haven't heard anybody call for his resignation, but he did this 38 years ago in college, and Hogan's Heroes was certainly an accepted television program at the time. Why should he step down?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that he took that action, particularly since fraternity hijinks is... They always have a theme for the parties, and you know it might not be something that would hold up in the 20-something era of correctness, but it was portraying a comedy show that was on TV,
right?
So I don't know, but you never saw swastikas in Hogan's Heroes, so maybe that was a factor.
No, you saw the Nazi flag. I think I'm fairly sure you did.
Flying
over the compound. I'll have to go back and look.
I think you just knew that they were, and they had the Americanized German accent.
Oh, the Colonel Klink wore the German helmet or hat.
But it only had the eagle on it. Not
well, the swastika is an integral part of the eagle.
It's in the middle of it.
Standing on a circle.
Or standing on it. Okay.
Standing on a circle with the swastika.
I don't think it had the swastika. For some reason, that was not part of the show.
Maybe it wasn't. But in any event, I don't think if you saw the picture of this guy, it was not a German uniform. It looked like an American uniform with a guy wearing a Nazi armband.
With a swastika armband.
I think, to be correct, the Germans would have been in gray. This would look like green.
So should he? Let's ask our audience. Mr. Garthwaite is the. Garthwaite. Okay. Garthwaite. There
Garthwaite,
we go.
Garthwaite. Okay.
All right. Of course, he's been a big graduate of Gettysburg College and now a supporter and is on the board of trustees. But when he was a student there, wore a military uniform costume with a swastika armband as part of a Hogan's Hero TV show theme party at the fraternity. And now, of course, one of the students found out about this and brought it to the attention of the administration, and then it made its way to the Gettysburgian. Have you ever read the Gettysburgian College?
No, but I have some friends who went to Gettysburg, and they probably do.
All right, so...
Or did.
So, should... Now, this is a done deal. He's already resigned.
He did it himself, right.
Right, so that's it's over. But should you have to? I say no in order to depict the Hogan's Heroes TV show, which is a comedy. I don't think you should. More sensitive to the Holocaust I could not be.
But let's go back to a little further. One of the great TV shows was bigger on radio than it was on TV, but it was on TV, too, Amos and Andy.
Okay.
Where white people, I mean, Freeman Gosden and Charles Carell often appeared in blackface as the characters they created.
Well, so that was a product of the time.
Right.
But nobody's reviving
that. But suppose somebody went to an Amos and Andy party today and dressed up in blackface. Would that be acceptable?
Only you would go to that.
No,
let's get that out of the way.
I would not go to that, but... You know, I'm just saying that it's hard to say when somebody, but today it would be unacceptable. But 35, 40 years ago, suppose a photo surfaced of somebody doing that, should they be penalized for it?
1-800-795-9565. Let us know. I certainly don't have the right answer, but, you know, I think if you have somebody who in 1980 portraying it in Hogan's Heroes was prevalent during the
70s, I think.
70s,
maybe 60s
okay.
and 70s, somewhere
okay.
in there. I don't know when it started. Bob Crane was very funny in that show.
Right. So, well, the whole, I watched numerous episodes in rerun.
Oh, Werner Klemper as Colonel Klink and
Sergeant
who the actor
Schultz.
Was
who was
Sergeant Schultz? I know nothing. I see nothing. I hear nothing.
I know nothing. All right. 1-800-795-9565.
Obviously iconic because we recall a good bit about it.
Yeah, Joe and I aren't going to do any more movie or TV lines, we promise.
1965 to 1971.
Oh, okay. So a good
60s
long run.
70s, okay.
So and it was a primetime comedy at the time, so you had to wait for Wednesday nights or whatever it was to see it on TV.
I forget what network it was on. Does it say what network it was on, Ron?
On CBS.
CBS, okay.
Well, we got...
168 episodes, and that exhausts my knowledge.
Well, that's more than we knew, so thanks.
Well, and you combine that with... You know, strangely enough, we're hypersensitive about anything that depicts the Nazis today. Witness the fact that Mr. Garthwaite had to resign or chose to resign amid some pressure. But you also have, around here, you have the Days of Remembrance Holocaust essay contest that's underway in the local high schools because a lot of students, literally, students, even the ones who read The Diary of Anne Frank, don't know what the Holocaust is.
I always remember General Eisenhower, when he gave an order to his underlings after they started opening up these concentration camps. He said, get everybody in here. Get the photographers in here. Get the Germans in here. You know, he marched German citizens through the concentration camps. He said, because somewhere down the line, and he used the word referring to an illegitimate child, is going to say this never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he made sure, General Eisenhower made sure that it was very well documented and that everybody knew at that time what had happened. And the Germans often were appalled. You see pictures of them running through the camps crying.
Well, now, I know Auschwitz is open. You can go see that and tour it and so on. But are all of the camps preserved?
I don't think so.
Some may have been taken down.
Some of the worst. Well, I don't think Sobibor is around anymore. I don't think Bergen-Belsen's around.
I actually visited Dachau.
Dachau, yeah.
That's still
open, yep. Dachau and Auschwitz and... I don't know whether any of the others are open or not. Really.
All right. So perfect that we're having this conversation in this way, because that's the fear that we will not give proper due or proper homage to what happened there. You know, just the tragic. It's hard to even think about it without getting emotional. But does a comedy skit from a TV show at a college fraternity warrant resignation from a college board?
Aren't they compartmentalized? You know, look at after the war, you had Albert Speer, who apologized, in effect, for being a Nazi, and he took some collective responsibility, never took individual responsibility, and he may have been, as they say in the vernacular, shucking and jiving, trying to cover his posterior. But he actually did take some responsibility for what happened, and he was acquitted.
Okay.
You know, and he went on to write two very popular books. He was on TV all the time, you know, talking about the Third Reich and Hitler and his experience as Hitler's architect. So, you know, we've actually kind of forgave him. You know, we made him a mainstream media darling, if you will. Should we have ostracized him?
What made him go to Austria?
Ostracized.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Act like an ostrich?
No,
all
act
right.
like an ostrich.
All right, we got to get out of this. We'll take a call on this. What do you think about this? Should Mr. Garthwaite have to resign? Now, he did voluntarily, and we don't know what kind of pressure was put onto him.
If you saw the picture, there was nothing, no effort to intimidate anybody. It was not, it just was a couple of college guys with a glass of beer in their hand. obviously having a good time. There was no intent to harm anybody or to, you know, deny the Holocaust or anything else.
Or in any way, see, right, any way to say. And we seem to, right, it's compartmentalized, the fact that we, of course, know about the Holocaust, and we do keep that in our thoughts. But at the same time, there were soldiers, there were U.S. soldiers who existed at that time, there were German soldiers who existed at that time, and there was a Hogan's Heroes TV show about 30 years later, which was a comedy. And the college used it as a theme, the comedy as a theme.
Well, the fraternity did, not the college.
Can they not stay separate, I guess is what I'm asking. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would just love to hear from you on this topic. Now, we've talked about a number of sort of run-ins with this kind of thing, and I think the blackface that has encompassed the administration of the Virginia governor. So this Governor Northam says he will never step down for that reason, and he's still in office, and he's starting his apology tour.
Well, what's interesting is that during World War II, we referred to the Japanese as the Japs, and there was no differentiation. But when we talked about fighting the other part of the Axis, we referred to the Nazis. We seldom referred to shooting Germans.
Okay.
We referred to shooting Nazis. So we did compartmentalize it. We said there are many good Germans, but, you know, some of them are Nazis, and they're the ones we want to kill.
Right, and some of our Germans would be the cousins and relatives of individuals who emigrated to the U.S.
And we were safer to demonize the Japanese because we had interred most of them.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I guess political correctness might be the subtext of our show, but now what action should we take as individual elements of this of the Nazi past versus the comedic version of the U.S. entertainment pop up? We have an email related to this. We have a text related to it, and we'll take a call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line.
Hometown Pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
WKOK.com.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, one of our texters corrects me, which he loves doing. It says, there were swastikas in Hogan's Heroes. At least one German officer, I believe, from the Gestapo, wore one in his arm. I don't believe adults should be held responsible for their behavior when they were youths, unless that behavior was illegal, of course.
Well, that would cause you to have problems with people who admitted to smoking marijuana when they were young.
Well, who gets penalized for that?
Well, he's saying unless it was illegal.
Oh, okay.
That was illegal.
Well, but you don't get in trouble for smoking marijuana 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
Well, no, the statute of limitations is gone. But if you came out and said, today I inhaled, it would be news. Just wasn't
well, guess what? When I was in college, I inhaled marijuana. Are you happy now?
Wasn't it Ms. Kolbashar who admitted that as well?
That she just to make a joke.
Bill Clinton, though, didn't inhale, as I recall, right?
That's what he said.
All right.
What's the point?
And then Than says, Amos and Andy was a racist, demeaning program despised by many people who tried to understand the problems of people of color.
That may be true, but...
Well, I doubt it, because in its time, it was so...
You don't think it was despised by people?
He says by many people. I don't doubt that there were people who despised it, but there were many people who loved it. You could literally walk down the street in almost any city in the United States of America on a summer evening, and Amos and Andy would be coming out of the radios. They even stopped movies in theaters when Amos and Andy came on and piped the sound of the program into the theater and then resume the movie. That's how popular it was in its heyday. Mm. You know, and I think that it did humanize. I mean, I think it was racist, certainly by today's standards, but it also had a lot of human values in it. Freeman, Gosden, and Charles Correll didn't just insult black people. I think on a certain level, they tried to explain the black situation, but perhaps in terms a white man would appreciate and a black man wouldn't.
Okay.
So, for what it's worth.
Well, many people felt it was demeaning, says Than, and he would remember. He was there.
No, he wasn't. It was in the 30s that the show hit its highest peaks. But it was still active in the 50s.
Well, he was alive in the 30s. Probably just not paying attention
not
to TV.
Not much. I mean, Than's not that much older than I am. I was born in 43. Than may have been born in 40, 41,
okay.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
He just acts older. I don't. And one of our writers says, good morning. There are millions of Americans receiving free health care, free Social Security disability, and yes, free food. They are disabled people. Democrats make sure there are funds for this. Social Security is said to end around 2034, so without paying all of this Social Security money out there, there should be enough funds to pay in for workers for free health care. Other countries have free health care because they up the prices on everyday purchases such as gas. The United States just don't get it yet. Thanks, Bob.
All right.
Wait a second. Social
well, we'd have to come up with a way to
2034? Where?
Well, it probably means it's going to run out of money.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to...
No one. There's no end date on the program itself.
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's going to continue. I'm assuming he means it's going to run out of money, or that's when the amount of money being paid in will be exceeded by the amount of money going out.
They don't stop milking it.
Well, that's true. We've already stolen all the money from in it, but... I think taxes would have to go up. But each of the presidential candidates that talks about Medicare for everybody has a scheme to pay for. So we just have to bring one of those candidates in here and they could explain how it could work. And we'll go from there.
Well, Olivia Ocasio-Cortez, her scheme was to print more money. We would just make more money.
What? She does not. Come on. Why do you spend these Fox News rumors? Come on, Joe.
You
get with
heard
the program. I've heard it because Fox says it, but it's not true. How about that? Everybody's
how do you
heard
know
it.
It's not true.
Because it's a Facebook meme. That's all it is. It's a Fox talking point. It's not a real It's not a real campaign
platform.
You're
over there with your MSNBC talking points.
I don't have any talking points. I only talk about that which I know. All right, 1-800-795.
Why did you say anything then?
1-800. Yeah, that's why I mostly listen on this show, so I can finally learn something about
Amos
and Andy.
We're happy to teach you.
When was the Amos and Andy radio show on?
It started in the 30s, and then it ran through the 50s.
Oh, wow. That's a long run.
Yep.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We invite you to join us. So, in a way, we're talking about changing times. Mr. Garthwaite, a Gettysburg College board member, resigned because he was in a fake Nazi uniform and a Hoga's Heroes send-up at a college fraternity party. We're talking about how in the world we're going to pay for health care for all. It's clearly obvious to everyone, even Joe, that we do need health care for all. The trouble is we disagree on how to provide it. And so we'll take all comers. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915. Here's what they sell, in case you've forgotten. Joe has a terrible memory. Ford car. Cars and trucks, great big Ford cars,
Lincoln's,
E-Series.
Kias.
Yep, Lincoln's, right. What else? One more. Hyundai.
All right, they sell Hyundais.
Yes, Hyundais. So it's great vehicles, and I'll tell you, each and every one of them has supermodels. They're all highly rated in consumer reports. The Lincoln Navigator pickup truck has got my eye on it. I can't wait to get one with a 6-foot bed and 2 rows of seats and a power rear window and a sunroof. And man, I better not get leather. I don't want to put a hole in it with my pocket knife. But nonetheless, it'd be the perfect truck for hauling around dead deer. So... Are you okay?
We have one call in and another one coming in, and you want to talk about dead deer.
Well, that's right. And they are a premier service provider at the Sunbury Motor Company for all makes of cars and trucks. They're a master towing service. They got a body shop, car wash, tons of used cars that are in perfect condition to purchase, and thousands of new cars between 11 and 15 in Sunbury and 4th Street in Hummel's Wharf. So it's an opportunity for you to get the vehicle of your choice. All right. We are talking about political correctness, health care for all, racism in the U.S. Should we eliminate everything that we know about the past, get some sort of a mind melt to get rid of everything we know? Dan, you're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, the way I look at it, we get all bent out of shape over art and images and movies and radio programs that were on the air many years ago. Yet, and today, we're killing innocent babies. We kill millions of them. And my question is, are we any better than the Nazis? We take life. We take babies' lives when they could live outside the womb. And on the other end of life, we take old people's lives legally. So what makes us so superior that we think we're so much better than anybody else? Especially the political correct crowd. Why do they think they're so much superior when we take in our country it's legal to take life at both ends in your senior years and even before you had a chance to breathe your first breath? And even it's been suggested once you breathe your first breath, maybe a day after, you still can be killed. So my question is to the crowd that believe everything has to be political correct in movies, art, radio programs that we used to all listen to. Why are they superior when they're doing the very thing the Nazis did?
Well, the Nazis didn't kill euthanized born children unless there were defects in them. They didn't just do it for sex selection. They were trying to create a master race.
Right, and maybe in that aspect, they might have had a more novel idea than we do. We just do it for convenience.
Well,
or what makes us superior?
I don't think that certainly isn't an element of our superiority, in my opinion. So,
well, fewer.
And we can do it at the other end of life.
What, with the death penalty, you don't like that either?
Well, it's if you deem your life unworthy, according to Scripture, the state's allowed to take it. But in our current system, I said before, there's too many people that are convicted on the death penalty that are totally innocent. That's why I think it's a good idea that they put a hiatus on it for the time being, because the government system wants to railroad you into making a confession even if you're innocent. Now with DNA, they proved that there's many innocent people that were on death row, that got off of death row thanks to God-given DNA that proved them innocent. That's the one reason I think we have to be awful careful with the death penalty. But like I said, on the other end of life, someone else can choose whether your life is worthy or that it should be taken when you're elderly.
Well,
I've seen it done.
I understand the comparison you're making. You'll be happy to know that fewer and fewer women are choosing abortion, but it is a woman's choice in the U.S. The Nazis killed, tens of millions of people, women in the U.S., we went over this the other week. I don't remember the numbers, but it's more than 600,000 a year. So, but this is women have the choice over what they do with their body. There, no one was making any choices in Nazi Germany about that, except the Nazis were, to kill other individuals. So I think there's a big difference, and I just don't think you're talking about the same thing. And women have the right to choose in the U.S. All right, real quick sentence, one more. That's it. We got three calls waiting.
I'll tell
Go ahead.
You what. The German people were what we would call the highest class people in that time. They had more doctorate degrees in that country than any other place. Highest educated, and they fell for a man called Hitler. Now
it's like the con man chief.
Yep, and here you know it makes you think,
no.
What are we gonna fall for in this country? What have we fell for already?
I agree. All right, thank you so much,
Dan.
You guys
have appreciate a great one. Good
too.
Talking
appreciate
with you.
Appreciate the call, Lance. You're on the mark. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Why? Anyway, Amos and Andy was so successful because it transcended all everybody. Everybody knew a Kingfish. Everybody knew a Calhoun. You know, and that was it.
Mark's looking confused. Calhoun was a lawyer, a little shady lawyer.
Kingfish. Right.
Kingfish ran a taxi cab company. No, Amos ran the taxi cab company. Kingfish never really did have a good job. He was always taking part in get-rich-quick schemes.
Right, exactly. What I'm saying is it had nothing to do with race. There was an interview with the folks that were the writers for that on that old-time radio. I mean, they don't have it on there, you know. But it was just that he was one of the people that not screenwriter, but audio writer or whatever. And that's what he said.
But nobody makes fun of Lum and Abner, which was almost equally as popular and was insulting to hill people or country people.
Now, that was exactly the next words out of my mouth, okay? And while we're on that same subject, when those folks that did the Shakespeare debauchery were on the program and they had a southern accent, I believe that was the clown. I'm pretty sure it was. Scene that they did.
Okay, so, we got you. All right, thank you so much, Lance. What else?
One more thing here, too.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, this morning when you had the moms on, what we should remember is that the folks that are killed by drunken drivers in Pennsylvania alone is equal just about every year to the number of innocents that died in mass shootings.
Gotcha. Okay.
This is a real sobering fact.
So to speak.
The thing is, you didn't say it, but the thing is, Lance, at one point in America, we had the ability to laugh at ourselves. And maybe people were laughing at us, but more often than not, I think they were laughing with us.
Right. We sure were.
All right. Thank you, Lance. Appreciate the call. Stand by, Joe. We're going to take your call in 1, 2, 3 minutes. Right, one of our listeners on the topic of Hogan's Heroes sends up. Let's scratch that. We're going to
take the call. He's been waiting.
1-800-795-9565 is the number that Joe called. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yes, morning, men. I would like to say something about Fan's call this morning. And he called, and I will say he tried with conversation to convince people like Joe or even me, which is Joe, about the Medicare or health care for all. But he was using an argument, and when Joe or anyone, or in this particular case, would have a contradictory idea, he says that that he's trying to be serious here. And what I'm trying to say is the onus of Fan's argument is on his shoulders to convince Joe, not Mark or Fan's wife, because you already agree. But I wouldn't mind listening to the guy, you know, if he comes out with some statements and somebody rebuts him, and then he can have an argument against that or, you know, conversation against it, rather than say, I'm trying to be serious here, as if Joe's taking the conversation to Hogan's Heroes or something. I didn't get that part of his argument where Joe didn't have some legitimate questions and, you know, how you going to offset the cost. You're going to have more people involved in the whole healthcare system, a lot more people, and maybe a lot more sick people. And the price, and he said, well, this will go down, and the price of healthcare will go down. Well, that's a shocker to me. So that part, I'm just trying to say that he doesn't really make a convincing argument. If he has more facts or something, how healthcare is going to go down or this is going to go, you know, taxes. But his idea, which I do remember and highlighted, is that he's going to tax the rich. And if you tax, if you think that that's a remedy, I don't think he's very perceptive if the rich trying to control the government and they pay for the ideas that the senators and, well, the lawmakers, the House and that, the laws that they pass, they're not going to pass laws that hurt themselves and the people that get them in office. That's not very realistic.
Yeah, it's often easier to demonize the other guy's argument than it is to counter it. You know, say, oh, you're making a joke, even though you're being very serious. And, you know, some of these questions are very serious. If you're going to start redistributing wealth, where do you stop?
Yeah, that was a good point, too.
Redistributing wealth now.
Once you get there, if you've heard of the theory of Overton's window, is that you stretch your progressive ideas so far that when they bounce back, they're not where they started. You have gained a little bit. So that's kind of the Green Deal thing, I think, is that you make really high ideas and then, you know, it doesn't go back all the way. You get a little bit of what you want. That's the Overton window idea. But just on the basis of, this is a little bit on the subject, but how Thayen, or where he came up with the idea that everyone should have health care in the United States.
I don't know. Because everybody doesn't have health care in the U.S. today. Now, you can go to the hospital in an emergency.
But I mean, where did you get that idea that everyone should?
Well,
I know everyone doesn't. I'm assuming that.
If you apply Occam's razor to this situation, it's obvious that the cost has got to go up. I mean, it just can't not
go up. The collective cost would go
up.
But it wouldn't but the cost per person wouldn't necessarily have to go up. And you never know, there might be more preventative care made available, in which case you wouldn't have to wait till something's serious.
There's things out there that we don't know. But I want to get back, maybe Mark can answer this, is if you're on that idea, where do you get the idea that everyone in the United States should have health care?
Everybody should. Well, I just think in the interest of, I think the candidates that are talking about it are saying everybody should. We're all U.S. citizens. A lot of us are taxpayers. We should have good health care in the U.S. So, all right, we got to take another caller, but thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate the call. Dale, you're on the air. We got another call coming in. You're going to be the last caller before a quick break, so go right ahead. You're on the mark.
I just like to inform all the taxpayers of Pennsylvania, new governors, state jobs program cost $3 to $3.5 billion, and all they did was give us a bunch of literature. So I think this is just another scheme, you know, where our elected lawyers are you know, funneling our money and trying to put, with the help of the paper, put down some kind of words to make it seem like our money's being spent wisely. But we all know that if you want a job, just go out there, knock on doors. I mean, so basically, I guess they're going to pick you up at your house, and they're going to take you to the job every single day and take care of your child for you, all, you know, expenses paid. So
the governor is talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like a good deal if anybody wants to get involved in it. I mean, it's free health care, free child care, free driving. So, you know, we got to hold our feet to the fire. It's costing us $3.5 billion. So instead of lowering our taxes or just giving us a break, they're going to start this Ponzi scheme here, which is called the Jobs Program. So, I mean, it's just another scheme. So, you know, like I said, that's the way it works.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much, Dale. Yep, appreciate the call. Yeah, the governor had an initiative yesterday. Let's see. A new entity is in place to improve Pennsylvania's employment climate and help workers get training to fill existing job openings. Democratic Governor Tom Wolf Tuesday signed an executive order that establishes the Keystone Economic Development and Workforce Command Center. It's designed to improve coordination between employers and economic development efforts as part of a workforce initiative he outlined in his annual budget address earlier this month. The Wolf administration says examples of employment barriers it wants to lower are transportation and child care needs. It also is looking at licensure, certification, and continuing education requirements. So somehow they want to, they seem to think that some of these things already exist. They just got to have better coordination. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got two emails pending, one caller standing by. We'll take a text to 1-800-795-9565. It's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com or text us at 70236.
Sunbury Motors Ford is getting the year off to a fast start. In January, SMC was right on pace to hit their goal of selling 1,000 Fords in 2019. In February, Sunbury Motors will shift into high gear during its President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords with savings up to $16,000. Pick from over 60 new Ford F-150 4x4s priced as low as $29,934. Deals on new 2019 Ford Fiestas are in overdrive. SMC has them starting at just $12,820.
And it gets 35 MPGs.
Select from over 45 Ford Escapes and they're slashed to an amazing price of $17,820. SMC has an incredible deal on a 2018 Ford Fusion, discounted down to $17,770. Sunbury Motors' goal of 1,000 new Fords in 2019 will give all of Central PA the largest discounts on new Fords in recent history. In February, SMC wants to put you into victory lane and become a member of their 1,000 Club of 2019. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, please, the email if you would, Joe. That's been waiting
yes,
a long time.
Mike Bolick says, my dad was a prisoner in Stalag 17B, and he enjoyed Hogan's Heroes. He would laugh at something, look at me, and say, it was nothing like that. And to the gentleman who wondered why we closed schools for bad weather, children's lives are more important than attendance. More people have built homes out in the countryside that require more plowing, and it's difficult to get all those roads cleared off in a timely manner, with the majority of children having to be bussed out to the boonies. And the quality of the truck drivers on the major highways today, just not as good as the ones were 20 years ago. They are not well-trained and well-experienced for bad weather.
You think that's true about the truckers?
In some instances, we encounter many who come through who are not American or don't speak English and have trouble reading signs and directions, and that's always an issue.
All right. Let's see. Another email and a caller waiting. Paul, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. I have one question.
Oh, well, good. We know everything, so that worked out.
How many states are called Commonwealth and practice what they claim?
Probably none. Maybe Virginia.
We're a Commonwealth.
Right, but we don't practice it. We run like a dictatorship out of Harrisburg.
Well, at least now I know how I'm going to vote.
Well, how are you going to vote?
I'm going to pull the lever.
Okay. All right, well.
But it's something that you guys discussed, but you have no answers for it.
It was something you called in for, and you have no explanation.
Well, I do, but I found out that by keeping my comments to myself, I don't get into any arguments, and I don't get into any disputes over a simple thing as an answer.
Do you know how many commonwealths there are in the United States of America?
Do I know?
Yeah.
As of when?
As of right now.
Well, right now, I believe there's ten, isn't there?
Nope, there are four. Kentucky, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Virginia.
Oh, well, I was six off. I gave them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, well, the Commonwealths are just like any other state in their politics and laws. There is no difference in their relationship to the nation as a whole. They just choose to call themselves a Commonwealth.
Well, it's like the town of Bloomsburg.
We can give them a different title.
Well, it's state and Commonwealth. I guess what they're saying is they're kind of interchangeable as far as the United States of America is concerned. There is no difference between a state and a Commonwealth.
Well, it is to be that the laws from state to state will be the same. In other words, you can't penalize a guy for something that he did in another state and give him additional time on his crime or his penalty for his punishment.
Okay. If you say so.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate your call, as always.
Cindy, you're on the mark.
I knew the answer. No one called on
me. Oh, man.
You can ask. I gave that answer. Four.
What, four? Okay, you knew it, too.
I did know it was four, but I did not know Kentucky. I knew three of the four names, but that wasn't the question. The question was, how many were there? And the answer is four. Anyway, I'm calling because isn't it exciting that now Bernie's running?
Okay.
I am so excited about
still my
this.
Heart. Why are you excited about that?
Because, Joe, as I have said on many other issues, I believe that the more choices we have, the better. The more choices, the better. Everywhere in the marketplace, we're offered lots of choices, but the political parties want us to think we only have two. And we've bought into that nonsense now for more than a century, and it's much to our harm, our detriment, as far as I'm concerned. I'm excited that there are many options. You know, last time they made fun of the Republicans because lots of people ran. Now lots of people are running in the Democrat Party. I think it's wonderful. Oh, more people run. You know, I have voted outside of those two parties on more than one occasion. I have voted for Nader, and I have voted for Perot. And
Anderson.
In fact, Perot, you know, got a substantial portion of the vote, kind of scared the bejeebus out of the power brokers that are behind the scenes, because a lot of people had had enough of the political parties at that point. And I hope that this time we see more people run and we have more choices.
Is there any particular candidate that you think more closely aligns with some of your interests and views?
I haven't determined that yet to be true. Mm-hmm. I have not. But I'm willing to have more choices, I'll tell you that. There are some people who I can easily dismiss, and I'm not going to go into who they are, because I want to encourage people to run for office. And this is an example of one office that more people should run for.
Well,
there are women running. There are minorities running. Isn't that wonderful?
But
I mean, the irony
that's not what makes them unique, Cindy. It's their positions. And so far, what I've seen on the Democratic side, just as on the Republican side 4 years ago, they seem to be pretty close to the same.
Well, they're allowed to do that, Joe. They're allowed to be monolithic in their thinking. But then we can make choices based on other criteria. Gosh knows, the government wants us to think that choices should be made based on outward appearance, on gender, those kinds of things. So certainly we're being offered those options, and if people want to use those as criteria, they're free to do so, which is pretty exciting. I mean, look at, since Woodowis, wasn't her name Woodowis, since she ran back in the 1900s, there weren't really a lot of women running for president. Now, what are there, three or four from one party alone? Was it Dr. Green? I think she's a physician. Dr. Green ran in the last election and was an option, so... I think it's exciting that there are lots of choices for us to make.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Thanks for calling, and we'll continue this conversation. Joe has the day off tomorrow. John Shipman will be here.
Lots of choices with respect to individuals, but not so much with respect to policies. I'd like to see more diverse policies.
All right. Well, we'll see what they have to say. We haven't heard much from all the candidates yet.
Right.
Tomorrow, John Shipman will be here instead of Joe, and on Friday, it's Billy Allred instead of Ben.
I'll see you Monday.
And we'll be back, and Joe gets a nice long weekend. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDK, OK, Sunbury, WDK, OK, News Time. It is 10 o'clock.